Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but is tempted in all things, sin excepted. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let Scripture speak to us through several passages, the first one being Exodus chapter 33, the verses 12 through 17. Exodus 33, 12 through 17. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." The second portion is to be found in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to John, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, as we will read the verses 1 through 7. John 14, 1 through 7. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." And then we go on a few chapters back to John chapter 11. And we'll read the verses 23 through 27. John 11, 23 through 27. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." And then we go to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we'll read from Revelation 22, the verses 1 through 5. Revelation 22, 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The last part of God's word that we will read is back to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, and Psalm 130, from which is also found our text as well. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, yet, yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The words that we want to consider particularly come from this and are to be found here in Psalm 130, and then particularly the verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. So far, the portions of God's holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the God who is the creator of all things visible and invisible. You are the God who has given us life and breath and everything we needed in order that we could carry on in this world. You have given us your Holy Spirit so that we may come to see and understand your word. You are the God not only of physical life, but you are the God who gives spiritual life. We come to you this hour as we are called upon to lay to rest a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a friend. And Lord God, we do pray that as we are about these activities, may we be impressed with the seriousness of life and of death, that we may be serious also about what it means one day to appear before you. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. a number of passages we have been able to read in which we hear your people confess your greatness, in which we hear your people also confess sin as well, and the gift of being forgiven. We thank you that you are the God of life who gives life, but you also take back physical life as you have done with our dear sister Anne de Vries. Lord God, grant that your word may speak to us, and may your Holy Spirit lead and guide us into the truth that you have conveyed to us by way of your word, and that this truth may sink deep into our hearts and may give us direction for the rest of our life. We pray particularly for our brother Jake, his sons, and the families, that you would grant them the comfort that you alone can give. And may this comfort come particularly through your word and through the proclamation of that word. We pray that each and every one of us who has come here may be edified and may see something of the greatness of your word and of you yourself. And so we do pray that you would keep distraction away from us, that you would graciously look upon us in mercy, that we may experience the riches of being forgiven, or if we do not know this yet, that we may flee to you at this very moment to find our life, our spiritual life, with you and with you alone. And we ask for this then in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear congregation, family, and friends, early last Saturday morning, I received a phone call from Jake. "Hello, Pastor Bergsma. My beloved Anne has passed into glory. Our condolences." Dear family, our condolences. 2 months ago, Anne was still in church here. And as I had the privilege of preaching in the afternoon on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, she came to me afterwards, gave me a big hug, as she was accustomed to do, and said goodbye to me. It was the last time that I spoke with her. Pancreatic cancer took over rapidly, and before long, the Lord delivered her out of her pain and took her home, as Jake has said, to glory. Anne will not be quickly forgotten. She was what I may call a mother in Israel, so to speak, not shy to speak of her faith in Jesus Christ, and not afraid to convey the necessity of that to her children and to her grandchildren, even to the last moments of her ability to speak. As her words, so were her deeds. Now you heard me reading a number of Bible passages. All of them, I must say, were chosen by the family, by Jake and by the family particularly. And no doubt, some of them, or all of them, were Anne's favorite Bible passages as well. One of them, obviously, from Exodus chapter 33, containing Jake and Anne's wedding text as well. Verse 15, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." The family has requested me to preach from Psalm 130. I want to focus particularly then on the verses 5 and 6. Because it seems to me that these words do say something about Anne's life and Anne's confession. When it says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Now, in these two verses, the author repeats five times that his hope is in God, whom he calls Jehovah the first time. That means the I am that I am, the one who is totally reliable. And after that, he also calls his God Adonai as well. That means the strong one, the powerful one. And by each of those five times, the author of the psalm climbs to a higher sense of waiting and hoping till he reaches the climax. And that climax is to be found in the last lines when it says, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Now, he begins then with speaking about waiting on Jehovah. On Jehovah, the I am that I am. Patiently, he confesses patiently to tarry for Jehovah, to give him a sense of the forgiveness and of that godly fear. Then, after that, he says again, my soul waits. His whole being, body and soul, is engaged in anticipating a good sense of being forgiven and of embracing godly fear. And what he means is that his waiting is not merely some outward duty that he is at, not just some lip service, not just some bodily work, not just some formal or cold, careless performance of duty. No, but he says, my soul waits. And as John Owen says it so wonderfully, it is soul work, it is heart work that I'm at. I wait, I wait, my whole soul waits. Then climbs up one step higher, and he says, and in his word do I hope. And using another term instead of wait, he speaks here of hope. That is a sanctified expectation that he is forgiven and that he has embraced genuinely godly fear, and that he confesses at the same time that he places such sanctified expectation squarely on the Word of God. On the Word of God. And then he climbs higher yet. Because he climbs to a higher meaning yet and says, my soul waits for the Lord Adonai. Waits for the Lord, the strong one. And for this particular term, wait, even it's the same in English, but in the original, it has a deeper, a higher meaning yet, because he uses a stronger term that means longingly look for, carefully observe, and regard with intense desire what Adonai, the strong God, will yet do for him. Now you will notice that his waiting and his hoping is not just a sitting back, relaxing with an attitude, well, let's just wait and see what God will do. No, every fiber of his body and soul is waiting, and it is hoping, it is longing, it is desiring, it is anticipating, it is eagerly embracing Jehovah Adonai's gift of forgiveness and godly fear. It has become a spiritual reaching out, so to speak, and embracing all that God has promised. Well, then comes the climax. And it is repeated for emphasis. Because we read there, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. And there are people this means, a new day is dawning. The darkness of spiritual sin is fading. Spiritual light is rising. A new era of spiritual life is about to open up for him, and he is reaching out to it with outstretched arms, so to speak. You know, in a certain way, it's similar to what old Simeon could once exclaim as he had Jesus in his arms. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Dear people, a believer has learned to wait and to hope as it has been described in these two verses. And so may I ask you, have you learned to wait and to hope in a similar fashion already? Now this can only be learned as you entrust yourself in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by Him and by Him alone that you can be forgiven of your sin and escape the darkness of sin as well. It is by Him and by Him alone, therefore, that you may receive the gift as well of godly fear, so that you too can confess, forgiven, godly fear is mine. It is only through Jesus Christ, you see, because He alone is the Savior of sinners. And then I must say that by nature, that is what we are, aren't we? We are sinners, you and me. No one exempted. But Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners. After all, He came to seek and to save the lost. And sinners are lost, you see. And they will be lost unless Jesus Christ the Savior enters into the picture for them. And to prove that He was serious about saving lost sinners, He sacrificed Himself on the cross to pay the debt of sin. Why? So that all who would repent of their sin, all who would entrust themselves to Him, will have life, spiritual and eternal life. And with this gift of life, He gives the Holy Spirit then as well, in order to teach us to wait and to hope in the Lord, Jehovah Adonai. You see, it is part of the Holy Spirit's work to create such waiting and such hoping in you. That's part of His work, you see. Not the only work, but certainly part of His work. It is part of the Holy Spirit also to endear you more and more to the Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ. And to endear you more and to cause you to appreciate more and more His saving and renewing work. So, dear fellow believers, do pray for the Holy Spirit to work this in you as well. Waiting on the Lord and hoping in His Word should grow, as it were, in frequency and should grow in fervency as life in Christ is given to you. And those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, I plead with you, seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And so the Word of God says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord. Also this morning, you are called to turn then to the Lord, so that you too may know what it means to wait and to hope upon the Lord. That you too may know what it means to be forgiven of all of your sins and to have that precious gift of the fear of the Lord in you. And again, dear believers, as you go on in such life in Christ, and as you grow in age and in spiritual experience, you will learn more and more as to what it means then to wait for the Lord and to hope in His Word. Our psalm text is a splendid example of a tried and trained believer who knows that he has been forgiven, but who wants to be more and more assured of it as well. This is why he waits on the Lord. And this is why he hopes in his word. This is why his whole being, you see, is involved in such waiting and in such hoping, body and soul, heart and mind, till he comes to that climax. Dear family, congregation, and friends, we have come to know Anne as a waiting and hoping believer. And she did not keep it to herself. She gladly shared it with others, her sons, family, children, grandchildren. She shared it with all who were ready to hear it from her. And she could say it in such a compassionate way as well. And that was what we can appreciate of her. Although she never sought the spotlight, she was a shining, or I want to say, a cheerful example of a waiting and hoping believer. She learned to wait on the Lord. She learned to hope in His Word. And that with increasing regularity and sincerity. And early last Saturday morning, she came to the climax. More than those who watch for the morning, yes, more than those who watch for the morning, she passed into glory, as Jake, her beloved husband, said. And for any who have entrusted themselves to Jesus Christ the Savior, such a climax will be like the dawning of a new day. A new day. The darkness of sin will then have been faded away completely. And for those who know what it means to wait and to hope, you may also understand that with that climax is the dawning of a new day, of a new light, in fact, the light of God Himself, because He will then be shining brightly. A new era of spiritual life will open up for all those who have embraced Him with outstretched arms. Jake, Stuart, Bernard, and Arnold. Be comforted with these very words and the meaning of those words as well, because it gives true sense to the life of your beloved Anne, who has passed into glory. Amen. Some family memories from Stuart De Vries.
Thank you, Pastor Bergsma. I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for coming to Mom's funeral service. I will now share some thoughts and memories of Mom. While compiling these memories, we have realized more and more how blessed we were with our mother. Mom came to Canada in April 1951 with her parents and siblings. She worked at a chicken farm, shirt factory, and cleaned numerous houses over the years. In their local church, she met the love of her life, Jake. They were married September 20th, 1957. 2 years ago, they celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary along with their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Mom took an active interest in the lives of her church community, close and extended family, and neighbors. Often this was shown with meals, words of encouragement, and visits. She taught Sunday school for many years and was an active member of the Lady Society Bible Study Group. Mom loved to cook and enjoyed having people over, fellowshipping together with her and her family. She did this for her extended family, the young peoples as we were growing up, visiting pastors, friends, boarders, the Christian school community, and Meals on Wheels. Whenever Mom and Dad came over to visit their children and grandchildren, it was often with a spaghetti dinner in hand. Many of the family have fond memories of playing dice, even though Mom started cheating the last few years. Mom could be quite ambitious when she put her mind to it. An example of this would be that she made a crib quilt for all 17 of her grandchildren. She was often amazed at God's grace and abundant provisions God had given to her and to Dad. Mom often sang psalms and psalters while she was working. She was even heard singing them recently to comfort herself when she could not sleep. Dad will miss having his dear Anne by his side. Please keep him in your prayers and encourage and bless him as you are given opportunity. A special thank you to all who visited, prayed for, and stayed with Mom these last few weeks, and those who made meals for Dad and gave us encouraging words. In conclusion, I would like to add that Mom loved God and served him with the gifts he had given to her. Now she is with her Savior, praising him forever. And now from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Thank you.
Let us close in prayer. O Lord, our God, we thank you for your precious word. Your word in which you have given us to look into the heart of one of your people as he waited and had his hope in you, Jehovah Adonai. We thank you, O Lord God, that you have revealed this to us also through the proclamation of the gospel. And we do pray that each and every one of us, young and old, may know something of this waiting and of this hoping, of embracing that wonderful aspect, the promise of eternal life. Lord, grant that there may be great forgiveness and that there may be wonderful godly fear amongst us in such a manner that it may lead to becoming examples of what it means to be forgiven and what it means to live in godly fear. And we thank you that our sister Anne de Vries was of such an example. We do pray that you would be with Brother Jake and his family in the coming days, in the coming weeks and months and years. May, as we have been able to sing it, may your mercy cheer their way, and that they too may look forward to that day that you will have a home provided for them, and that in all things you may have all the praise. We ask that as we go to the cemetery and commit the body to the bosom of this earth, that you would be with Pastor Hutton as he will be called on to speak some edifying words. Grant him what is needed. Grant to each one of us that as we stand around the gravesite, we may realize that for believers, this is not the end at all. And so bless us. And grant also afterwards that we may have fellowship with one another in a way that honors you. Comfort, O Lord God, comfort those who are mourning. Comfort with your presence. In Jesus' precious name, amen.